morning show with Greg Berg. Let's check WGTD sports and weather. NBA last night, Bucks lose to Houston 110-99, and the Bulls beat Memphis 119-110. Both teams off tonight. NHL Blackhawks off last night. They skate at home tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. Now the WGTD forecast from the National Weather Service for this Thursday, March 8th. Should be a sunny day today. Seasonal temperatures, a high of 37. This morning, wind is from the northwest at 10. Sunshine and 20 degrees across the board. Racine, Kenosha, Burlington, Elkhorn, Lake Geneva, and Milwaukee. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg, up next.
Support for WGTD and the Morning Show comes from the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, offering online degrees in sustainable management and health information management technology. Online degrees for emerging careers from the University of Wisconsin-Parkside in partnership with UW Extension. To learn more, visit uwp.edu. And we welcome you to the Thursday Morning Show on WGTD HD, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg, and on the second Thursday of each month, we are always delighted to welcome into our studios Nan Calvert, who is quite adept at assembling really important and interesting guests to talk about a variety of topics related to the environment around us. Last month was Racine Mayor Corey Mason for what proved to be a really interesting and informative hour. And we'll have a busy hour ahead of us today.
Yes,
Nan, tell our listeners who you have assembled today and why.
Well, thank you, first of all, for the compliment, and also happy International Women's Day to everybody. I am sitting here with three amazing women for our radio viewing audience, and they are going to tell you all about a big event that's coming up. And, you know, this is the time of year when these things begin, because we are quickly approaching the official observance of Earth Day. Of course, most of us that I know anyway celebrate Earth Day every day. And so we have Mimi and Sister Janet and Jane, and they'll introduce themselves, and they're going to tell you all about EcoFest.
Very good. And this is a big event, and an event that is really designed with just about everybody in mind, and a wide range of ages and interests. And so a fabulous celebration coming up on the 17th of March, 9 until 1 on the Racine campus of Gateway Technical College. Really briefly, let's hear from each of you about the roles that you play. And we're going to start with Jane Herring, who is actually here at Gateway Technical College. Jane, explain your role at Gateway and your role with EcoFest.
I'm the Director of Public relations at Gateway, and most of the community events fall within my role. And we were approached a couple of years ago by Greening Greater Racine, who had been talking about the need to talk about the fabulous things, really, that the Racine community is doing to try to improve its environment and the concern they have within the businesses, within schools, and community not-for-profits, and how they were bringing their organization together and to promote better stewardship of the environment. And they wanted to get that out to the public. On my side, we needed an environmental event on our Racine campus. So it really has been a marriage made in heaven, in that they have brought all of these concerned, intelligent people and groups together to try to communicate to the public in a fun way, I have to say. It's interesting, it's fun, it's interactive to talk about the environment and help anybody of all ages, all particular interests, learn more. So that's what's happening with EcoFest. And this year we're growing another step. You'll hear in a little bit from Mimi, and that we have added art and music to the event, and continuing to grow in terms of the types of exhibits we have and children's activities and fun.
Great. So Jane will be speaking on with particularly kind of the overview of everything, and particularly from the point of view of Gateway, which is in a sense the host and the co-sponsor of EcoFest, again coming up on March 17th. It's good to have Sister Janet back, who we have had on the program any number of times to talk about the Eco Justice Center, but you are wearing a slightly different hat today. Explain the perspective that you are bringing today as far as EcoFest is concerned.
All right. There is really a connection between the Eco Justice Center and Greening Greater Racine. When that Greening Greater Racine was formed a number of years ago, when I was director of the Eco Justice Center, I was a representative on that committee. And through the years, as we try to get off facets of concern for sustainability and environmental care in our city, I became a part of that planning committee. And together, as Jane mentioned, we thought, how do we celebrate and make people aware of all the good things that are already happening in our city? And so that's how EcoFest came about. We went to Gateway, and Jane was just a wonderful helper in organizing this, providing most of the resources. And we gathered in the people to do the displays and demonstrations, and helped with the publicity for this event.
Fantastic. It's good to have you back, and good to have you sharing your perspective on this. And it's very nice to welcome a newcomer, not only to the morning show, but a newcomer to the area, from what I understand, yes. Mimi Peterson. Mimi, let's take a moment to get to know you. Explain a little bit about who you are, where you come from, and what drew you to Racine a couple of years ago, and then we'll talk about your the role that you're playing with EcoFest.
Thank you. It would be my pleasure to introduce myself, but first I'd like to thank you again for presenting the concept of EcoFest and, you know, what we're doing and the reason for it, the reasons behind it. I am an artist and curator, educator, and advocate for the arts. I was born and raised in Chicago. I've lived in Racine just over 2 years, and I am a full-time artist. I have a studio practice in Racine, live workspace, which is working out well. I work 24 hours a day.
And what kind of art do you do?
I am an assemblage maker. I work with salvaged objects that have been discarded. I actually walk the beach or walk along the railroad tracks and pick up relics of industry or driftwood, if you will, and put all these desperate pieces into a hole, which is very typical of contemporary art and probably typical of of this entire project. You know, it's putting in, putting segments and fragments into one concept to make it work, to make it viable.
Wow.
So,
did anything in particular draw you to Racine, away from Chicago, where that had been your home for so many years?
Well, I've known about the Racine Art Museum, which is fabulous. I wanted to cut down on rent and expenses, so I managed to find a large live-work loft space, 2,400 square feet. You can't hear from one end of the open, it's an open concept, so you can't hear people at the east end or the to the west end, that sort of thing. So it's wonderful with skylights, and I'm very happy with my space, which is crucial to producing my product.
Yeah, well, very good. And you are helping to coordinate what is a very exciting new addition to EcoFest, at least in a brief nutshell. Explain what that new facet is.
We have established through the collaborative brainstorming the development of a of an art exhibit, which I understand is the newest components. And I'll speak only about the visual art, not the music, which is also very important. excuse me. I'm so sorry. In 2017, we developed a major art event in Uptown Racine. It's a stretch between about 1300 to 1600 West on Washington Avenue, Racine. And it was called Revitalize Racine, the Vital Art Project. The emphasis was on bringing awareness to an area broader than Racine Kenosha. We brought artists in from Chicago, Michigan, and Colorado, plus local people to exhibit their art. We brought awareness. We also were, there was a positive result of that. We will have future exhibits in Uptown. It's a little dormant now as far as the art is concerned, but there will be a permanent gallery opening this year. And one of the hosts, we had three venues. One of the hosts during the run of the exhibit actually got an offer and sold the building that was up for sale, which is, and we were, the artists felt a sense of responsibility in helping to try to establish a, even if it was a temporary reputation as being a potential art community. So I think we succeeded in that. That was the first Vital Art Project. From there, a group of, I call it an ensemble of artists, developed a proposal which we submitted to the Racine Arts Council. The show is currently on display. It's 409 6th Street in Racine. And again, it's a vital art project, but specifically it's called Emergency Room. And the theme or thesis is, it is environmental, but in a different way. It's mental health. It concerns itself with healing and health based on perceptions of color. So there's the optical visual component as well as the psychological. Going back to the Uptown, that was also an environmental project where we dealt with restoring the community, bringing it back to life through the arts. And you all know that this is a project that is universal, actually, where cities have suffered from downsizing or losing jobs and industry business of all sorts. So there are some what I call tired neighborhoods that need revitalization.
Yeah, nice way to look at it.
Our third project, thankfully, thank you very much, we will be part of the EcoFest. We call it Eco Art at EcoFest, the Vital Art Project.
Very good. So this is an exciting addition indeed, and you're an exciting addition to the community, so we welcome you again.
Thank you.
Glad you're here. For those of you just joining us, we're talking about the upcoming EcoFest in Racine on March 17th, 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. And Jane, remind me, how many of these have there been?
This is the third EcoFest.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Yes.
Very good. Jane, talk for a moment about Gateway's participation in this and the way in which EcoFest folds into other facets of who and what Gateway Technical College is.
A key aspect of Gateway is sustainability, and that is something that our community relations and governmental relations area works very closely with. Here in the Kenosha campus, we have the Center for Sustainable Living, which again is a place where people can go to learn how to equip their homes with alternative energy sources, with more environmentally friendly products, whether it's a floor covering, a wall covering, toilets, heating, whatever. And it's set on beautiful grounds where we have a nature discovery trail for young students to enjoy. We also try to build sustainability into most of our Gateway educational programs. So we have some more obvious ones where you have sustainable energy systems as a track within our electrical engineering program. Like I say, that's more obvious. But with HVAC, we have automated room controls. I could go down a list. I won't go crazy on this, but we do have a very strong commitment to the environment.
And so, in other words, Gateway's made a real attempt to kind of weave that concern into all kinds of different curriculums across various academic spectrums of the college.
Academic and operational, switching out lighting, switching out our heating systems. We also have automated controls so that we can help control our energy use. So it's operations, academics, but it's also community education, and that's where EcoFest rides. We started Celebrate Earth Day 10 years ago, and then we started EcoFest 3 years ago. We have Celebrate Earth Day that's coming up on the 21st of April, and that's on the Kenosha and Elkhorn campuses. And EcoFest Racine, because, you know, I think it is there are so many very strong organizations in Racine who are having their own Celebrate Earth Day events on the same day. We could never get traction for getting a Racine Earth Day going. And again, when EcoFest, when Green and Greater Racine, rather, came to us, going earlier, yet not in the dead of winter, but kind of a mid-spring type of thing, that just seemed to hit it. And just judging by the success of the amount of groups who get involved as well as visitors, I think we've got a winning event.
No question about that. No question about that. Sister Janet, could you say a little more about exactly what Green and Greater Racine is? And in particular, what kind of an organization is it? Is it comprised of concerned individuals, or is it more a consortium of various other groups, smaller groups, kind of coming together under your umbrella? I mean, how would you characterize Green and Greater Racine?
Green and Greater Racine is a group that tries to network with all entities in the city to collaborate and encourage and share information about what everyone is doing on the working towards sustainability and environmental sustainability. So we have people from the government, schools, small businesses, larger businesses, environmental groups, faith groups. It's open to anyone, and we have a website that lists all the groups that are, we don't exactly have members, or we have a loose term called partners that work with us, and we help publicize what they're doing and what events there are. So Green and Greater Racine has a board of 6 members, and then we have a steering committee, which is broader. It includes some of the initiatives that have been started. Some of the initiatives include the Greater Racine Food Council, a Water Council, Small Business Group. We have, it's called Nature Corridors, Connecting Nature Corridors, concerned about native plants. Another part of that group is developing Friends of Pritchard Park. So all of those groups are going to be represented at the EcoFest. So it's really a networking organization. And as a group, we only meet maybe four times a year as a board. But then, for example, working with EcoFest, there are about three or four of us from EcoFest Steering Committee that work very closely with Gateway to put on this event.
Nan, I imagine as you listen to Sister Janet talking, this reminds you of all kinds of collaborations that you have been part of, and I know you speak so eloquently to the importance of collaboration occurring and people doing even the most commendable work, not in the isolation of their own silo, but
right.
In cooperation with others.
Exactly. You know, I wouldn't say a long time ago, but some time ago, we were so compartmentalized in our thinking. There were the invasive plant people and the native plant people and the water people and the soil people. And systems thinking, fortunately, has taken over, and that reaches into every aspect of becoming excellent stewards of our resources. And I think EcoFest is a perfect example of that, bringing people who, you know, it might seem that the business community isn't necessarily part of this whole thing, but in point of fact, they're an extremely important part of it. You know, we were talking about establishing trust earlier before we went on the air, establishing or reestablishing trusts in our local businesses. And I think this is one way we can do that when we include sort of seemingly disparate community groups in one big coalition to achieve the greater good. I mean, it's just a perfect, you know, assemblage of people,
yes.
Isn't it?
Thank you.
There you go. Yeah. Mimi likes that. Very, very good. So I know that one of the really central facets to this event are all of the displays and demonstrations. And Sister Janet, I think you are the person who is at the heart of putting all of that together. So tell us a little bit about just who is going to be participating in that way in this year's EcoFest.
All right. We have 55 groups that are going to have table displays. I believe of those, about five of them are school groups where the students will come and share what they're doing at their school to be environmentally caring. We have Girl Scout group coming in telling what the Scouts are doing. We have some businesses like Cree Lighting. And we'll have a business row in the displays where all those professional business groups are going to be telling about what they're doing to save energy and to be more environmentally conscious.
So, for instance, a company like Cree that I know something about because I had a family member used to work there. So there are certain things that they have done and certain products they've created that
exactly.
are very in energy efficient. I mean, in extraordinary ways, not possible even 10 years ago. So they are there to kind of talk about that, I assume.
Exactly, right. And then we'll also have the environmental groups, like the Equal Justice Center will be represented, and they will tell what they're about, and will also be selling herbs at their table. We have
Green
about 110
stuff.
herb plants growing, and parsley, cilantro, basil, sage, and thyme, and people will be able to purchase those. And the Eco Justice Center also has alpacas, and they've been making alpaca balls that they can put in their dryers. So that's a way to save energy as you do your laundry. It dries faster with these balls in the dryer. We'll have foresters there demonstrating how to prune trees, which will be helpful. The zoo will be there. We'll also have people demonstrating composting. So it's a lot of interactive things going on. So 55 groups will be there displaying what their efforts are in the city and the area.
Is that comparable to what you've had in the past?
It's about the same number we had in the past. We tried to spread things out a little better so we're not quite so congested as in the past, because we expect to have close to 1,000 people attending.
Wow. Jane, explain exactly where this happens on the Racine campus.
Sure. If people have been on the east side of the campus as they're going down Pershing by the lake, and that large parking lot is where people would park, and then you could walk up the steps into the lake building, or you could enter on the ground level of the technical building, go up, follow there are corridors, some people call them tunnels, to get over to the lake building. So it'll be on the main floor, where SC Johnson Student Life Center. So kids' activities, and there are about 8 or 9 different stations, will be in that area off to the side, in the actual student activity area of that room. We'll have refreshments also being served in another area, and then the displays make up the largest section of that. And down another, just a short corridor off of the Student Life Center is where we'll have our demonstration. So about every half hour, there will be about a 20-minute introduction type of presentation, and then you'll be able to ask more questions because most of them also have a booth. Would you want me to run through what demonstrations are going to be there?
Sure,
right now?
And I think you talked about a couple of them, but
well, those are demonstrations that are happening within the display area.
Oh, this is.
But these are more presentations that will be made kind of formally. We have a really cool for our culinary students. We have a formal demo kitchen where, you know, how you see it on all the cooking shows. Well, in this case, it'll be our presenters will be in there. So you'll have big screens to show their presentation, very nice seating. And we'll have the Birds of Racine with Rick Fair from the Hoy Audubon Society. He's very popular. I know when we have him at our Center for Sustainable Living, those are always sold out. Sister Janet will talk about a little bit more, but Jim Palinick, who is the Racine City Administrator, will be giving a shorter presentation for reduce, reuse, recycle in Racine, and that is going to relate to moving to the zero waste movement. And Janet will talk about that in a moment. Mm-hmm. And Sister Janet is going to be presenting herself. And this is the one I have to admit I was pressuring her to put on because I think it's pretty cool. Square foot gardening. How can you take a small space and really have a very productive vegetable garden? Mayor Corey Mason is one of our speakers, and he's going to reveal the energy plan for Racine. And then at noon, we'll have an introduction to canning. And that's another, you know, you have your square foot garden, you're really successful at it. Now what do you do with all of this? And then Heidi Williams is going to be presenting an introduction to canning. So if you don't mind, I think this would be a really good time for Sister Janet to talk about kind of a prelude to EcoFest on that Thursday evening.
Right.
Right.
Golden Rondel, we're having a program called Zero Waste, Reduce, Reuse, Recycle. And we've had these programs the last 2 years as well. It's like an introduction to the EcoFest. And we'll have Jim Palinick, our city administrator, is going to be talking about Racine's efforts toward getting to zero waste. And David Rose is going to be chairing program. And he's really going to be talking about the zero waste movement, and talking some very practical efforts that individuals and homeowners and schools, businesses can use to reduce the amount of waste. And the reason for this program is because our Racine landfill, the Kestrel Hawk landfill, is going to be filled up in 48 months to 52 months. And then what do we do with all the stuff we throw away? Mm. We have to learn how to throw less away, and that's what this program is about.
Right.
One of the bad things we've been putting in landfill is food wastes. So two of our presenters on Thursday, March 15th, at the Rondell are going to be talking about the use of incinerators.
Hmm.
How that is very good for our wastewater treatment facility, and how the bacteria help purify the water. And then the other one is Sue Obrey is going to be talking about composting. Not everyone is able to compost their food, so between composting food and using an incinerator, and Michael Kellerman is going to be doing that part of the presentation, it's a way of keeping food waste out of landfill. So there will be a Q&A time after Jim Palahniuk's presentation and at the end. So we hope to fill up the Golden Rondell. If you just check out Golden Rondell programs on your internet and register in advance, I'm sure there's about 200 seats, and it's close to 100 people registered so far.
Right.
So that's Thursday, March 15th. Program starts at 6:30, and the doors open at 6.
It's kind of a preamble. Your talk about zero waste reminds me of something that my sister, who's very environmentally sensitive, has talked to me about before, and maybe that's folded into this principle, but it actually adds another R word to that. What are the three you said? Reduce,
reuse, recycle.
Right. And there was some author who wrote a book not too long ago that said, you know, what you really need to do is add to that the word refuse. Because in a sense, one of the things people can do, and we don't think about it enough, is to not even start that process. I mean, if you begin by not getting a straw for your drink or not buying this thing that's made of, I mean, mm-hmm. in other words, refusing to take certain things into your life, but for those things that you do, then you need to think about reusing them and so on. But I thought it was an interesting concept that, in a sense, takes it almost a step further and really makes zero waste even more possible.
Yeah. You know, as you talk about those R's, maybe Jane wants to talk about that. In the children's activity, I think we really need to start with our children and keep teaching them how to better care for our earth. And we do that through a series of R's. And most everybody knows what the three first ones are, reduce, reuse, recycle. But Jane, do you want to take over there and tell
mostly because I have notes. I'd never be able to recite this on my own. But the children's area, the activities, they do have the theme of 9 R's.
Mm.
But it sounds like there should be 10. So the 9 R's are responsibility, respect, rethink, renew, restore, reuse, recycle, reduce, and replant. So that's going to be their theme with all of their stations. And they'll have a bee bath assembly with pie tins, you know, so the kids can build their own bee houses to keep those pollinators coming to their yard. They'll have an electronics assembly station, and that talking about some of the, we have an electronics recycling at EcoFest where you can bring all of your computers, your computer monitors. You cannot bring TVs this year, but cell phones, all the electronics you can recycle. But at the kids area, they'll start learning more about that and acquainting them with how you can reuse parts of the electronics and how to properly dispose of the rest. And things with energy and lighting, and Hoy Audubon will be there with seed bombs, where you can make your own seed bombs. So lots of fun.
Absolutely.
While you're learning the 9 R's. And you can come and teach us the 10th.
Right. Not that I'm good at refusing, but I'm trying to be better. For those of you just joining us at 8:43 on this Thursday morning, we are talking about EcoFest, which is coming up on March 17th, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the Racine campus of Gateway Technical College. And on this International Women's Day, we have four extraordinary women in the studio, assembled by Nan Calvert, of course, who joins us every month on the morning show, Jane Herring, Sister Janet, and Mimi Peterson. And we need to make sure that we talk now about a really exciting addition to EcoFest. Jane, I want you to just say a word about this art component that has been added to EcoFest, and then Mimi will fill in some details on her part in that.
Well, it was interesting when I was listening to Mimi talking about the Vital Art Project. You realize art has it has a role in economic development. It has a role in mental health and in general in lifting one's attitude toward life. But it also has a way of, I guess, representing the truth. I think about you look around and you know there's a sunrise. I always look at it at gorgeous art. I take a walk in the woods. I see it as an artist with the trees and the light and being surrounded basically by art. And I think the reason we look at putting EcoFest together with art and with music is it is a vital part of how we approach life, and art is picking up some of those R's, reusing your assemblage. Mm-hmm. You're finding driftwood and you're reusing it in a different way. People will be singing or reciting. We have our Poet Laureate for Racine County, and they will be, again, representing ecological themes. Hmm. But let's turn it over to Mimi to talk a little bit more about specific art and how that's...
I would contribute revitalization to your list of R's. Right. We have a group of seven artists who will be exhibiting at the event. Oh, before I talk about the artists and their specific work, I would like to contribute that the location of the exhibit, and I've treated this as a mini exhibit, not a vendor promotional set of tables set up. It will be in the Lake Building, and it is off the west entrance. It is ground level. It's a lobby area outside of the multicultural room. Do I have that correct?
Well, the ground level or below ground level is off of multicultural. It'll be off of the Learning Success Center
on the west side.
Okay. Yes.
But
actually, no,
right.
You're getting the levels because that's very confusing in in our campus.
Well, we will be converting the lobby area, and it will be void of lounging furniture, and tabletops will be set up for the artists. So now I'll talk a little bit about the art. The seven artists include Catherine Kahandag, who was born and raised and lives in Chicago. She will be exhibiting sculptural artist books. They are written, the text is by the artist, as well as the visuals. And they are not meant for reading alone, but they're meant to be handled and looked at and, of course, admired. She will have several books on display, as well as prints about birds. The topic or subject is birds. So she is a printmaker painter. We have Marilyn Propp, who lives here in Kenosha. She is originally from New York, another transplant to this area, and she will be exhibiting freestanding sculptures. At this point, I should add, we have two-dimensional work as well as three-dimensional. Marilyn will be exhibiting work from a series, and the pieces are called Sentinels. They are totem-like freestanding sculptures made of found objects, and she's concerned with the with water and fresh water as well as salt water, and this series is totally involved with water and the debris in the water, how it's killing off life, and so forth. Then we have Gwendolyn C. Skaggs, who is also, she's moved here from New York, born in Indiana, but she lives in Kenosha. Her work takes on a little more of a political nature. She actually is an advocate for equal justice, social justice, and it's evident in her work, and she's a very strong advocate for what she believes in. She works with wood, ceramic, metal pieces. Both artists, by the way, incorporate color. Let's see who we have. I, Carmen Quintana, born in New York, living in, funny how we all end up here.
But
Carmen currently lives and practices art in New York City, Chicago. And she's will be exhibiting photography. It is a piece that will totally cover the tabletop that we have for, as our pedestals, if you will, are roughly 60 by 30. And her artwork is, 40 by 20. So mm-hmm. it's one large piece of a Vermont landscape where mm-hmm. she has hand-manipulated mutant sculptures into the context of the photograph, and these sculpture-like forms are grapevines. Mm-hmm. So it's a really wonderful concept that she's developed, and I think everyone will enjoy it. Eric R. Peterson, who happens to be my son and is one of the artists, I think that he has probably tackled the project in, a very current millennial way, because he's actually using the tabletop as his pedestal. He will be creating a site-specific piece on the tabletop, which is integrated with his work. The content, if you will, is about domestic life. He will be exhibiting various objects that are metaphor for, actually are women's handwork, needlework, and crocheted objects and so forth. So he's also incorporating references to consumer consumption, which all of this is about, mm-hmm. you know, landfills and waste and so forth, and other objects from that are meaningful. They're metaphors for sustainability and referencing ecology and so forth. I am an assemblage maker. My work in this case will be a little more traditional. I'm showing work that is easy to recognize. Most of the work is conceptual. We all deal with ecological systems as part of our thought process. The work, I would say, is under the larger umbrella of environmental art, because there are specific genres of art. There is ecological art. It does exist. It deals with the systems, ecological systems, and intervention, whereas environmental art encompasses human nature, or I should say natural life cycles, artificial as well as natural, and so forth. I hope I've mentioned all seven artists.
It's an impressive list, and it sounds like they're tackling this in intriguing ways. That is the topic or theme. Is this artwork that is simply on display, or is some of this also for sale?
I will thank you for asking. That's very important to any of us. But it is original fine art. Some of it has been made for specifically for the EcoFest exhibit. It is for sale. We will have our business cards available also. I would just like to contribute the fact that art has the ability to all the fine arts, all the creative arts, to ask questions. All the you're providing answers with a lot of your dialogue. You know what we can do to with our waste product. There's manufactured product industries trying to offer solutions for that, but the fine artists can offer questions. They could prod and create dialogue to open up areas that might not be recognized or identified until after the fact. Artists are thinkers, and we have thinkers involved in this group. So I would just say that anyone who visits the art exhibit will be absolutely delighted with the thought-provoking, colorful, existential, conceptual art that they'll be faced with. It's a wonderful group of hybrid, eclectic, mixed-media art that happily commingles.
Hmm. And I think all of that is going to be really well mixed with the type of music and readings that will be taking place in the same space between 10 o'clock and about quarter to one in the afternoon. We have singer-songwriter Naomi Marie. At 10 o'clock, at 10:45, we have Racine County's Poet Laureate. And we have at 11 o'clock, James Sullivan and Carrie Spitzer will be doing Irish old-time fiddle and acoustic guitar music to try to highlight some of, you know, as you're moving through the art exhibit. Again, the Poet Laureate comes back at noon, and Naomi Marie comes back again at 12:15. So we really encourage people, you're in the... Can I call it chaos? The children's area, and there's a whole lot of things going on there for families with young children. People of all ages can move around and learn something from each of the exhibits. If you come back with two great ideas, you've been successful that day. Go to the presentations, again, pick up more in-depth information, and then go upstairs and feed your soul with the music and the art. So there really is something for everyone.
There really is.
Excuse me, I forgot one of our artists.
Okay,
it just
quickly.
Came to me, Vandana Gala, who is from Mumbai, India, and currently living in Racine. She's working origami, creating a 3D piece out of origami. It's very wonderful, and she believes everything is interconnected, which is aesthetic relationalism.
And in the end, our world will be saved by beauty.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well said.
This event is free.
Yes, it is.
And remind Jane, remind our listeners where they should park or where they should walk in order to come and be part of this.
The Racine campus of Gateway Technical College, and you can park on the Pershing, lakeside of our buildings and come into the lake building and learn about Lake Michigan. So I'm trying to draw that all together, and it begins at 9 a.m. and continues until 1 o'clock p.m. You have displays, you have music, and just so you can come hungry, because we have some wonderful refreshments that are available for purchase from the Daily Grind, which is our food service on the Racine campus.
Fantastic. So this is Saturday, March 17th, EcoFest 2018, and we want to thank Jane Herring and Sister Janet and Mimi Peterson for being here to get all excited about what promises to be a wonderful event. Nan, in addition to EcoFest, what else is going on that people should add to their calendars?
Many wonderful and important things. As we all know, March is maple sugaring month. There are maple sugaring programs and pancake breakfasts all over the place. Riverbend, Hawthorne Hollow, thank you. Just go to their respective websites and you'll be able to find out when those are, what special programming is happening, and if there's a fee and all those kinds of things. So don't forget about that. There's an important event that you are invited to on Wednesday, March 21st at the Oak Creek Public Library from 6 until 7:30 p.m. It is a community discussion about coal and health. And the topic will be the relationship between coal and health with a panel of local doctors and affected residents. And it's hosted by the Clean Power Coalition of Southeast Wisconsin. Of course, we already know about the upcoming EcoFest, which is very, very exciting. Hoy Audubon, March 24th. March 24th is a busy time. Mm-hmm. At 8:30 in the morning, there will be a field trip to Eagle Lake, specifically to look for waterfowl, and also weather permitting, visiting the wetlands just north of Highways 11 and 75. And those wetlands were restored by a resident of the town of Dover, which is also a wonderful thing to learn about. There will be a presentation sponsored by the Wilmot Union High School Community Outreach Program on March 21st from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. The title is The Purposeful Landscape, Plants for Pollinators and Pretty Things. Registration is required. Just go to the Wilmot Union High School website and you will be able to do that. And that's it.
Fantastic. Nan Calvert, we look forward to having you back on the second Thursday in April.